Wow, that was such a great story. But I'm going to backtrack a little bit to before the story that Manju just told, because back in the first chapter of Acts, so she was reading from the second chapter of Acts, the first chapter of Acts, Jesus had said to them, "Wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about it, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." There is a promise, but they need to wait. They have to be patient. Now, if you read further in that first chapter of Acts, there's also a bit of it in Luke's gospel, there were some things that were done in that 10 days. Can anybody remember who was with them in that upper room where they were packed like sardines? Anybody have any ideas? Anyone? Who was there? The disciples, yeah? And anybody else? Well, they're not named, but Acts 1:15 says there were 120 of them. They really were packed like sardines. And what were they doing? Does anybody have an idea of what they were doing in that time? Right, they were praying. Anything else? Yeah, but they also, Luke says, after Jesus was ascended, that they went to the temple praising God. And you said praying indeed, Acts 1:13. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Oh, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. There were a lot of them. They were praying. And what might they have prayed? If you look around the room, you might see an idea of one of the things they might have prayed. The Lord's Prayer, right? What we've been praying during Thy Kingdom Come. Now, I have a question for you. Has anyone here ever attended a 10-day prayer meeting? No, 10 days. Wow, I haven't either. But hey, we're about 120 people. We'll lock the doors. We'll stay here for 10 days, right? Ooh, wow. But they were human like us, right? So what were they doing? What else might they have been doing? They would have probably been remembering and talking about all kinds of things, the stories of what they themselves had experienced with Jesus, and maybe the stories that he had told when he was teaching them. Now, we don't know this for sure, but perhaps Matthew and John were starting to write down and make notes about these memories. They eventually wrote two of the four Gospels that we have. Maybe, I would guess, their good friends Lazarus and Mary and Martha were there, and they told that story about bringing Lazarus back to life. And what did Jesus say? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Those of you who were here on the Monday before Easter, we talked about Mary's anointing of Jesus at Bethany. And there were people who were kind of peeved, but maybe now they understood. Another case of oil anointing being used. Maybe that couple on the road to Emmaus would have shared about how Jesus explained how all of the Old Testament scriptures pointed to the necessity of the crucifixion and his resurrection. Maybe somebody wrote things down, the things that made their hearts burn within them. We know that Matthew's gospel is full of Old Testament references. And possibly, they would have been remembering and talking about what happened during Holy Week, including Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit, because, okay, he had breathed on them when he first rose from the dead, and said, receive the Holy Spirit, but he had told them that there would be an empowering to come. What is this Holy Spirit? But we know that what John said when Jesus was speaking, and one of the things they remembered, John 14:26, the Spirit that was with them was actually helping them to remember. Jesus said, yeah, the Spirit will help you to remember all of the things that I have told you. But it was 10 days. Normal life would have had to go on. Now, maybe they might have fasted a bit because now Jesus was gone and he said, when I'm gone, you will fast. But for the rest of the time, for 120 people, food needed to be purchased and prepared. It would have been eaten, and then there would have been cleaned up after. There would have needed to have been comfort breaks. And they would have been sleeping. In essence, they were doing life together in community. Anyone who's gone to a camp or a festival for a week knows that's actually not so easy. But they didn't know that it was going to take 10 days because Jesus told them in a few days. They didn't know that the power of the Spirit was going to come on Pentecost, the day that Israel was celebrating both the giving of the law. There's a picture over in the corner by the sacristy that somebody painted about what the giving of the law was like, but they were also celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. So, 10 days, wow. They would have needed to have patience while they were waiting on the promise. And everyone would have needed to find a way to work out that balance between work and worship and prayer and just being together. Now, we're surrounded by it, so I'd like to go back to the Lord's Prayer because we know that this has been prayed by Jesus' followers ever since Jesus taught his first followers. It starts, our Father in heaven, we point ourselves in the right direction. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what is it? Give us this day our daily bread. We're told to ask for our needs. It's all great. And then there's this kind of a zinger. Does anybody remember what comes after give us this day our daily bread? That's right. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How did it feel for the disciples to be praying those words after the events of the crucifixion and resurrection? Would they have remembered? After the soldiers came for Jesus, just about everybody, they ran away. Only Peter and John followed Jesus, but then Peter denied Jesus how many times? Once, twice, three times, that's right. And so John was the only one who was there staying with the women at the foot of the cross. Where was everyone else? And then they may have remembered the actual resurrection. Did the women remember that when they told the men the first time that the men just didn't believe them? When they said, Jesus is risen. Did the 10 who were there the first time that Jesus arrived remember that Thomas didn't believe them? Did any of the 9 remember that, this happened a long time ago, but you know, it might have still rankled, that James and John had been asking for outright positions of power and authority in Jesus' left and right hand? Would they make the connection between these little examples of them kind of rubbing each other the wrong way and our Lord's Prayer, which asks for the forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? We don't know. We do know for sure that Peter, as Manju was talking about after that happened, he got up in front of that whole group of 120 people and suggested that replacement be found for Judas, because Judas had betrayed Jesus and wasn't there anymore. But now, I'd like to bring it into this room, because we are all disciples of Jesus too. Maybe we can recognize some of the experiences of that the disciples may have been remembering, things that might have been talked about and prayed over and forgiven. We have examples from our own families, with our colleagues, with our schoolmates, with our good friends. That frustration that arises when plans are made in advance and then at the last minute someone bails out, oh, something came up, sorry. Especially irritating when you're expecting someone to help out. Oh, but that frustration of trying to talk about something that's really, really, really important and not being taken seriously. This happens in my family a lot. Maybe those times when your friend gets really bossy and tries to tell everyone how to play the game because they know it all better. And then that sad reality when bullying is happening, and it happens at schools, it happens at work. When people are being mean to someone we know, and we choose to look away or even walk away because we are afraid, and then we are ashamed. Now, we do know from John 20, verses 22, 23, that the disciples had received the Holy Spirit when they saw Jesus and believed that he was risen. Jesus said to them, he breathed on them and then said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Did that ever-present Holy Spirit help them to forgive? Does that ever-present Holy Spirit do the same for us? We do know that the Holy Spirit helps convict us of our own sin when we need to ask for forgiveness, which leads to repentance and, hopefully, reconciliation. And the Spirit helps us to remember Jesus' teaching, including that one on forgiveness. How many times do I forgive if a brother sins against me? Does anybody remember? Somebody said seven. I think somebody replied seven, but Jesus said, no. 77s. Seven times seven. As Harrison mentioned, the Holy Spirit can be like oil in that it helps us when we're rubbing up against each other or maybe even rubbing each other the wrong way as we do life together. So, the very start of the Bible story that we're reading today, on the day of Pentecost, all the disciples were together in one place. We're going to be singing "How Good It Is," and we can pray that we, like the early disciples, can also be all together in one place. And after that, Pamela will talk about what happened when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church. Thank you.
Okay, so we've heard from Chris that there was a promise and that God has kept his promise and he has sent this Holy Spirit. And there was patience, so we have P's coming out. I like things that start with the same letter. And there's a party. But why did he send this Holy Spirit? What's the point of having him in the end? And I'm only going to give one example, and then I'm going to invite Yape up to give us an illustration of the second example. And they're also both P's, and they kind of go a bit together, so they're going to overlap. But the first reason that God sent the Holy Spirit was to give us power. Now, we might think, whoa, that's cool. Marvel. Ooh. It's not really that kind of power. Most of us are a bit scared sometimes when it comes to sharing our faith, or we're a bit scared to tell people that we're even going to church or explaining that we celebrated Pentecost to our friends. We get a bit nervous. And in the passage we read, when the Holy Spirit came, they all started to speak. He gave them power to speak the message of Jesus. Now, they were all talking at once, which would have sounded a bit chaotic. But then suddenly, all the people who were around came because they wanted to hear, what is this message? And this was the message that Chris explained, was the message of what Jesus had done, who he was, why he had come, that he had come to die, but that he was alive. And now he was going to empower, come in power to his people. And that was the birth of the church. He had said back in Matthew's gospel, go and make disciples of all the nations, all of the nations, all of the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey what I've said. Now, if you look at some of the things that Jesus says, love your enemy, how do I obey that? I can't. So I need some power inside me to help me do what's impossible to do. So just to give a little illustration, which might help us, all illustrations have a weak side, but go bear with me. I have a glove. It's a beautiful glove. It's red for Pentecost. It's exactly, sort of more or less, the shape of my hand. And I think it's quite clever because it's mine. It belongs to me. So I'm going to get it to do some things for me. Right, could you, let me see, what can it do? Could you go and shake hands with Chris? Oh. Well, what about if you scratch my nose? Or maybe wave to everyone, say hi. It's not actually that intelligent after all, is it? Or maybe it just doesn't have any power to do these things, and it needs something that's the same image that it was made in, which is God, who comes in the power of his Holy Spirit. And because it's a nice tight fit, completely fills the glove. So now I can say, go and shake hands with Chris. I can say, scratch my nose. I can say, wave to everybody. And it's doing the will of the person in whose image it is formed. And that is a little bit of an example of what the Holy Spirit does. When we invite him to come in, he gives us the power to do the things that the head, and the church has described Jesus as the head, tells it to do. And the other word that begins with P, and it links a little bit to this, is he fills us with his presence. He's now with us to help us and guide us. And I've asked Yape to come and tell a nice little story about what that means.
Good morning, church. So this one starts with P as well. It's Greek, and it's word parakletos. It's the word that is used in New Testament about the Holy Spirit, but it had a particular deeper meaning for the seafarers and the fishermen of Jesus' time, because what parakletos was, it was actually a thing. So you can translate it to mean to support or come alongside. And when a ship would get into trouble or in a storm or would break, they would need rescue, they would need help. And then parakletos, another ship, would leave the harbor, would go alongside to the ship that is in trouble to weather the storm and to help them come to the shore safely. So parakletos, the Holy Spirit, is somebody who comes along to with us, to be with us, to dwell within us, and to help us to come to Jesus, to come to safety. That's probably more light bulbs for the disciples of Jesus when they heard parakletos, when they had this background. So Pamela asked me to share this one with you. Thank you.
So when we invite Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, to come into our lives, and maybe most of us here have done that, he listens and he responds and he comes and he fills us. And he gives us his presence. The end of that little verse when it says, go and make disciples, the next following verse says, and I'm with you always, to the very end of the earth. And that's another promise that he gives us. Sometimes we forget and we live our lives. Can you wave at Chris? Excuse me, can you wave at Chris? And we think, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want to do my own thing. So we actually need to listen to the instruction by reading the word, spending time with one another in prayer. It's an ongoing thing. When it says be filled with the Spirit in Paul's letters, it's not just, okay, do it, check. It's a continuous, you've got to do it. You've got to do it every morning. You've got to do it every hour, because sometimes we fall so quickly. And he's there in us, with us, giving us the power, but we need to keep reminding ourselves of his instruction and of his presence with us. And we're going to take a moment to be quiet now, and then we're going to sing a prayerful song, just re-asking the Holy Spirit to fill us again and to come again in power to us today.
A reading from Acts 2, 1 to 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a noise came from heaven. It sounded like a strong wind blowing. This noise filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like flames of fire. The flames were separated and stood over each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them power to speak these languages. There were some religious Jews staying in Jerusalem who were from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a crowd came together. They were all surprised because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely amazed at this. They said, look, aren't all these men that we hear speaking from Galilee? But each of us hears them in his own language. How is this possible? We are from different places, Parthia, Media, Elam, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya near Cyrene, Rome, Crete, and Arabia. But we hear these men telling in our own languages about the great things God has done. They were all amazed and confused. They asked each other, what does this mean? But others were making fun of them, saying, they have had too much wine. Peter speaks to the people. But Peter stood up with the 11 apostles. In a loud voice, he spoke to the crowd. My fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, listen to me. Pay attention to what I have to say. These men are not drunk, as you think. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. But Joel the prophet wrote about what is happening here today. God says, in the last days I will give my spirit freely to all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. At that time I will give my spirit even to my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will show miracles in the sky and on the earth. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will become red as blood, and then the great and glorious day of the Lord will come. Then anyone who asks for the Lord for help will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.